you will, please take your copy of God's Word and turn to the Old Testament book of Proverbs. If you're using a paper Bible that's on your pew, it's on page 304. My name's Taylor Lasser. I'm the pastor here. It is an absolute joy to host our students and our coaches. We pray for you regularly, and we are so thankful that you are here. This is one of my favorite Sundays of the year. I love Christmas, I love Easter, and I love Vacation Bible School, but Football Sunday has become one of our favorite ones throughout the year. Last night, me and my boys were playing tennis. We play tennis. I'm a tennis guy, and two of our boys were hitting. I was talking to one of them, and I was trying to talk strategy, like, hey, look how he hits this shot, and look how he's moving his feet. And I looked at the other one. I said, hey, are you paying attention? What are you thinking about? And he's like, Dad, all I can think about is the hamburger I'm going to eat tomorrow night and how I'm going to build it, and I want to, like, double-decker it like a Big Mac. I'm like, bro, well, you need to focus here. This is an absolute joy to host you guys. We are praying for you. We are rooting for you. Donna and Pete, thank you so much for coming and joining us today. It is just an absolute treasure for us that you would grace us with your presence. So we are rooting for you and rooting for our campus. We're starting at College Heights today, and we'll be going through the next several weeks, a series in Proverbs titled, The Fear of the Lord. The Fear of the Lord. Now, I know that our players, you're going to be going on a church tour and visiting several other congregations in our city, but if the Lord would lead you to come back to us after you're done with your tour, we'll still be in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs speaks about how to live life as God has designed it. It's a very practical book of wisdom. It's specifically written to young men who are starting off in their life journey, and for them to understand what God would have them do with their lives to honor Him. It's a book that speaks of how we conduct ourselves in our work. It tells us how we should use our money for God's glory. It talks about friendships, about marriage. It talks about relationships and purity. It speaks of family and our words and how we conduct ourselves with one another. The theme of Proverbs, as we're going to see this morning, is the fear of the Lord. I don't know about you, but that word fear often kind of strikes some different ideas. If I say, what are you afraid of? Usually things like clowns, heights, roaches, those things come to mind. For me, I'm afraid of drowning. That's probably my greatest fear. That's where I freak out. This is not the fear that the Bible speaks of, where we freeze up. It's actually a fear that draws us in worship to something that is supremely awesome. It is something that is so glorious that it takes your breath away and it calls you to give your whole adoration towards. And that thing is the holy God who created the universe. It's a personal God who made every single one of you and has a plan for your life. We're going to see this morning that the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of God's design for our life, is with the fear of the Lord. So we're going to read God's Word together, verses 1 through 7 of Proverbs chapter 1, and then we'll pray and we'll study our text together. This is God's Word. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Pray with me. God, we ask for your presence to be with us. We thank you that we've been able to sing to you as a holy God who is worthy of all worship. God, I pray this morning, as many of us, as was said before, beginning places in our life and making decisions about what direction we'll head, that we will build upon the foundation of your word and upon your son. God, we ask for your blessing on this team and your blessing on this campus. But Father, most of all, we ask if there is one here who does not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, if they're not a Christian, that today they would cast their hope upon Christ, that they would fear the Lord and believe the good news of the gospel. Be with us today, O God. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible is clear. There are only two spiritual paths that you can take in your life. One is the pathway of life. It leads to spiritual blessing. It leads to true fulfillment. It leads to ultimate meaning and purpose. The other path that you can take in your life is the pathway of death. It leads to spiritual destruction and ultimately to eternal punishment. Every single one of us need to ask ourselves, which path am I on? When you consider your life, are you on the right path? It's incredibly important because you don't want to get to the end of that path and find out you've been on the wrong one for a long time. The book of Proverbs contrasts these two paths in these two ways. The path of destruction is deceptive. You see, it looks right on the surface. It's popular among most people, but at the end is the way of death. The path of wisdom, while it's not hidden from us, is narrow. It's difficult. There's few people who are on it, the Lord Jesus tells us. The gateway is narrow, but that is the way to life. How do I know which path I'm on? And how can I be sure I'm headed in the right direction in my life? The book of Proverbs is written to inform us and to help us think about our life so we know that we're on the right path and that we fear the Lord. A proverb is a wise saying. It's an ancient Hebrew word that we've translated, and it kind of is a compare-contrast word. It's this idea that God puts two things in front of us, and we are supposed to look at them and to compare and pick which one is the right one. It's like if I have a shiny red rubber ball and I have a $100 bill. Now, a child is going to look at those and pick a shiny rubber ball, right? It looks good. It's a lot more fun to play with. But if you are wise, you can know that you can buy a lot of shiny rubber balls with a $100 bill plus lunch, right? So the path of wisdom is to look at those and to contrast them and make the right decision. We have sayings like this today, don't we? If I said, the early bird gets the worm, you understand that that means that if you show up early, you put in the work, that there are benefits. If I say the saying, a fool and his money are soon parted, what that means is that it's easy to take advantage of somebody who's not wise, and it's a whole lot harder to save than it is to spend. Proverbs is different because it's not just a collection of sayings of people's wisdom, it's a collection of God's wisdom. It is written by King Solomon, the king of Israel, a man who had God-given wisdom. In fact, he goes down in history as the wisest man who ever lived. It was written around the year 950 BC. But even Solomon is God's king. Even Solomon, who had all of the right information, still in his life, chose to do things to gratify himself rather than to fear God. Solomon did not end his life well. Friends, today, God doesn't want you just to know about him. God wants you to live your life for him. To not just know the right information, but to do things that please him. Solomon, by the Holy Spirit, writes down God's wisdom for life. It's spiritual wisdom, not just wise sayings, and it's applied to all of life. It's meant to point us to God. It's meant to point and direct our lives for his glory and his name. I want us to see in this passage, if you had to boil down this passage into one main idea, one sermon in a sentence sometimes it's called, this is it. Spiritual wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. Spiritual wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. Let's look and see what spiritual wisdom is in this passage. In verse 2, the first thing that we see that God's given us to know wisdom and instruction, God wants us to have spiritual intelligence. Spiritual intelligence. Now, intelligence is not about your GPA. It's not about the facts that you actually know. Intelligence is actually about your ability to learn. It's about your ability to understand and your ability to adapt and to deal with problems. It's more about your adaptability rather than the quantity of information. Friends, there's a lot of people that know a lot of information, but they're actually really dumb, right? Because they can't make a wise choice. There's some guys who may not know a lot, but they can understand and they can adapt and they can be flexible for what's happening. On the field, you may know the term situational awareness, right? That you're aware of what's going on and you're able to adapt and to pivot and to change based on the circumstances around you. God's wisdom is about spiritual awareness. It's a spirit-given intelligence that helps us to know about God. God wants us to be able to learn. God wants us to be able to understand, to adapt to the situations that come our way. He's given us His Word so we can actually know these things, so we can understand the things that are true. Friends, when it comes to knowing God and knowing God's will is not something that's far away, that's unreachable. God's will is actually revealed in His Word for us. It's very near to us for our access and for our learning. We have to make the choice if we're going to go to His Word to understand His will for our life. His desire for you is not a mystery. In fact, one of my favorite passages in the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, Moses, who's the leader of the people of Israel, says, God's Word is not up on a high mountain or up in heaven where you've got to hike it and climb it and find it. It's not across the ocean where you've got to cross the ocean and send somebody over there to get it. It is very near to you. All of this is given, all of this in God's Word and God's wisdom is so that you can know God. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to enjoy Him forever. Spiritual wisdom results in a spiritual intelligence that creates in our hearts a heart of praise. It rejoices in a God who's made Himself known to us and calls us to worship Him. Psalm 111 verse 10 says this. It says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have good understanding. His praise endures forever. The fear of the Lord gives godly intelligence, spiritual intelligence to know God and to know His Word, resulting in a life of worship and praise. We also find out in this passage that spiritual wisdom, it gives us insight about spiritual instruction. Look at verse 3. It says, to receive instruction in wise dealing. And this wise dealing has to do with righteousness, justice, and equity. Maybe your Bible might say fairness. It's this idea that God's wisdom, while it tells us how to deal with money, relationships, and success, it's not about the things that the world cares about. God's wisdom is actually given to us to help us to know about how we interact with others. God doesn't care primarily about your stuff. God cares primarily about your soul. And God cares how you live in relationship to one another. You see, righteousness, justice, fairness, equity, all of those things have to do with how we relate to other people. We treat one another righteously in how we act in good dealings. We should treat one another with justice and with fairness in a way that honors God. The Word of God tells us how we treat one another. Friends, if you want to honor God with your life, you also honor the people that God has made. Today, there's YouTubers, TikTok personalities, fill in the blank, whoever, and they'll say, it's all about you. Get what's yours. Be the alpha dog. Get in front and take what is owed to you. But for God's people, it's not about you. For God's people, it's about God, and because we love God, we show that love in our demonstration of how we interact with other people. If you are first in your life, it will always leave you empty. It will always leave you dry. But when we put God first, it manifests itself in our relationship with other people. A life that's lived for others, for the glory of God, is the most fulfilling life that you can possibly live. Friends, don't spend your whole life on self. Don't primarily focus on your own work, your own relationship, your own career, your own agenda. God calls us to focus on Him, to seek Him first, and to put His kingdom first, and then all the rest of these things will be added to us. Job 28:28 says it this way. It says that behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. To turn away from evil is understanding. The fear of the Lord gives us instruction to turn from evil for the good of others and for the glory of God. Spiritual wisdom is also given in this passage to give prudence to the simple. Look at that in verse 4. It says to give prudence to the simple. Maybe your Bible uses the word insight. Spiritual insight is the ability to see beyond the surface. We're introduced to a figure here who shows up all in the book of Proverbs. It's Mr. Simple. He's young. He needs intelligence, he needs instruction, he needs spiritual insight. And when we say somebody is simple in the Bible, it doesn't mean that they're plain Jane. All right, it doesn't mean just that they're basic. All right, some of you are like, I like vanilla ice cream and chicken nuggets. What's the problem with that? All right, that's just a simple man, and I like my simple things. When the Bible talks about being simple, it means it's somebody who can only see on the surface. They're easily deceived. They're easily taken advantage of. God doesn't want us to be a simple people that just see the things on the surface. He wants to see the depth of spiritual reality. And Mr. Simple is on the path to destruction. He's on the path that leads to eternal condemnation. And wisdom is calling out to the simple. It's calling out saying, hey you, get off the path. Hey you, come over here. Hey you, stop being simple. Receive words of wisdom and receive words of life. Friend, God doesn't want you to stay on the path to destruction. God wants you to live your life to the fullest for His glory and for your joy. Wisdom calls out to us. It gives us prudence, a word that means the ability to see beyond the surface. The fool, you see, he's proud. He doesn't need insight. He's got it all figured out. He doesn't need anybody else telling him what to do. But the humble man, the prudent man, is wise. He sees beyond the surface to the spiritual reality. He realizes that he needs God. He needs God's wisdom in his life. Friends, God's plan for your life is for you to see the world as God sees it. St. Augustine, a guy who lived a long time ago, he was from North Africa, and he's one of the heroes of the Christian faith. He was a great writer, and he wrote this. He didn't start off living for God. In fact, even though he grew up in a Christian home, he devoted himself to a life of pleasure. He actually joined a pleasure cult, where his whole goal in life was to seek gratification in the flesh. But then later, St. Augustine remembered the words of his mother and his grandmother, and he picked up the Word of God, and he was converted in reading the Scriptures. And Augustine would later become a pastor, and he would write these words that I think help us understand what Proverbs is speaking of. He said, "The sin is believing the lie that you're self-created, self-dependent, and self-sustained." God's wisdom shows us the truth, that He is the Creator. It shows us that we are actually dependent on Him and that we need Him, and that we are sustained by His grace and by His love. Friends, the wisdom here is for you to see the insight that you aren't self-created, that you can't live a life of meaning that's self-defended, that you can't be self-sustained on your own. You need God. You need His Word, and you need a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. That takes humility to see beyond the surface to what's true. Proverbs 15:33 says it this way. It says that the fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom. Humility comes before honor. When you fear God, it gives you insight that comes from embracing true humility before God. Lastly, in verses 5 and 6, we see the characteristics of true spiritual wisdom, that it gives spiritual increase. Spiritual increase. Look at verse 5 and 6. It says that, let the wise hear and increase in learning. The one who understands, obtain guidance. The reality is that God's wisdom is contagious. If you have it and if you pursue it, it will compound and it will multiply. It's the result of the Holy Spirit in your heart that gives you a hunger for the things of God. And the more you have it, the more you desire it, the more you seek it out. Godly wisdom leads to more wisdom. A hunger for God will lead to a greater hunger for God. And God promises to always fulfill the hunger of those who seek for righteousness. God's wisdom is not about a quantity or about a level. It's not like you've got to reach a certain point, and if you just fill up your wisdom tank, you're like, okay, check the box, I'm good. Now I can live the rest of my life how I want to. Rather, it's something that continues to grow and continues to multiply. And the more wisdom we have, the more we realize we need more of God's wisdom. It increases in our hearts. Remember the first time I drank coffee? I did not like it. It was nasty, bitter black water for bitter people. But over time, and a lot of really early mornings, that coffee began to taste better and better and better. And suddenly one little cup wasn't enough. I needed two. Before long, hey, that coffee in the afternoon wasn't so bad either. And if you're a coffee drinker, you know where this goes. You acquire a taste for it and acquire a desire for it. It satisfies you more and more, but it also makes you want more and more of it. God's wisdom is the same way. The more you seek after it, the more you pursue it, the more you desire a taste for it. But friends, the reality is, not only is wisdom contagious, but so is folly. So is foolishness. If you deny God, you deny His wisdom, you continue to live your life for your own desires, for your own passions, and for your own name, God's wisdom is going to seem more and more distasteful. And foolishness and self-centeredness is going to seem more and more appealing. And when you surround yourself with friends who are pursuing the same thing, as the book of Proverbs says, it's going to become easier and easier to seek after a self-gratifying life. Let me urge you to not seek out a life that is self-gratifying, but to seek out a life that glorifies God. He promises to give increase in His knowledge, increase in His will. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 10 speak of this as the Apostle Paul prays for this church in Colossae that they may be filled with the knowledge of God's will, that they can grow in spiritual understanding. God's desire for your life is for you to flourish in the knowledge of Him. Proverbs 9, verse 10 says it this way, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One is insight." The more you know God, the more you see your need for God. The more you see your need for God, the more He promises to fulfill that. This is true wisdom. This is God's wisdom. This is spiritual wisdom. It gives spiritual intelligence. It gives spiritual instruction, spiritual insight, spiritual increase. So you might be asking yourself, okay, Pastor, I kind of get that now. That sounds somewhat appealing. I want to know more about that. Where do I get it? Like, do I just go down to United or go down to Walmart to the wisdom aisle, all right, and look for it somewhere stocked up on the shelves? Do I go to YouTube or to TikTok or the latest social media? Where do I go for true wisdom? Well, the Bible tells us that true wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. And that's found in His Word. It's found in the Holy Bible. God has revealed His wisdom. God has revealed His instruction and given it to us in His Word. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. When it says the beginning of knowledge, it doesn't mean like a starting line. Like you started a place and then you move on past it. The beginning of knowledge has to deal with the foundation. It's like you're building a tower. Any of y'all build towers when you were kids? Maybe a Lego tower or bricks, or maybe you build a card house. I could never do a card house. I could never do a card house because I could never get that little tripod foundation right. Now, my hands were too shaky. And because I could never get the right start, I could never build a card house. In the same way, if you try to build your life on a foundation that is not based upon God and based upon His Word, your life will be just like a house of cards, and it will collapse when the winds and the waves of pressure come. The wise man, the wise woman, fears the Lord. The fool despises God's wisdom and instruction. This is the contrast we're meant to see, fearing God and despising God. Pick your foundation. Pick your starting line. Pick your truth. Friends, hear me today. No matter your grades, no matter your wealth, no matter your athletic ability, no matter your social status, no matter your relationship status, unless you have the right view God, everything in your life is meaningless. It will start off satisfying for a moment, but it will fade like the grass. But a life that is built on the foundation of God and His Word will last for eternity. Because then, no matter your grades, no matter what your bank account says, no matter your ability, no matter your relationships or your social status, your identity is found in Christ and in God and His Word, and everything else can be built up on that. John Walvoord, a famous seminary professor, said it this way: one cannot gain knowledge of spiritual things if he begins at the wrong point. So today, hear me, God is calling us to the fear of God. The Lord. Fear, as I said at the beginning, is not to be frightened. It's actually a call to worshipful submission. To be in awe of something. To realize that there's someone greater than me and it deserves my worship. It deserves my praise and it deserves every aspect of my life. The key to wisdom is submission. Submitting to God, submitting to His Word, and primarily seen in how we submit to His Son. You see, when it speaks of the Lord here, King Solomon is writing before the Lord Jesus Christ was born. He's speaking of God, the true triune God, and speaking of God, but now that God has come down in flesh. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth some 2,000 years ago. He was born as a baby, truly man, but still truly God. He lived the life that you and I could not live. He didn't need God's instruction. He followed the law of God completely. He had every spiritual insight because He was the Son of God. He had the right intelligence because He was divine to know God's wisdom and to know even the thoughts and intentions of man's heart before they spoke it. And Christ lived a perfect life, satisfying the requirements of a holy God. But because of Jesus' great love for us, He substituted Himself on the cross. He took my place and He took your place in a great exchange, where the holiness of God, Jesus Christ, became the wrath of God. And where you and I, who deserve the wrath of God by looking to Christ, can now be holy and righteous and born again. Jesus willingly went to a cross. We have crosses on jewelry necklaces. I've got one up here behind us in the sanctuary. But in the ancient world, you would never put a cross up in a building. A cross was the most horrific, painful form of execution known to man. Jesus willingly chose death on a cross. He willingly chose to bear the wrath of God in your place and in my place. And as He hung up on that cross, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He was buried and placed in a tomb. Saturday was dark. But Sunday morning, Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, conquered death. He rose up from the grave, showing that sin was paid in full. He showed that in his resurrection that the wrath of God was satisfied. He showed that death is not triumphant. He showed that victory is in Jesus Christ alone. And friends, all who look to Christ can be saved. It's not those who work hard and try their best. It's those who look to the true King of Kings, who look to the true Lord of Lords in faith and believe in Him for salvation. Friends, if you fear God, you fear His Son, the one who's coming back one day in glory, the one who is worthy to judge the nations because He has saved people from every tribe and tongue and nation. This is a God who is worthy of your worship. This is a God who is worthy of your praise. This is a God who saves the uttermost. A God who redeems the worst sinners. A God who washes away all of our mistakes. A God who washes away all of our sin. Why? Because of His grace. His free gift of salvation is offered to you. And all you do is need to come to Him in faith, saying, "God, I fear You with my life. I trust You with my life. I worship You as my King. I believe that You died on the cross. I believe that You rose again, and my only hope of salvation is in You." Friends, that is good news. That is the good news of the gospel. It's the good news of God's Word. And it's a good news for us today. Friends, turn to Christ, the true Lord, the true King of Kings. Consider what path you're on, the path of destruction or the path of life. Jesus calls us to follow Him. Friends, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of life. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Admit you're simple. Admit your need for Christ and believe in Him today. Turn to Christ and know the fear of the Lord. Let's take a moment to close our eyes and to bow our heads. And I want to encourage you in the quietness of your heart to consider what path you're on right now. Are you on the path of the fear of the Lord? Are you on the path of Christ, the narrow way, the one that leads to life? Or if you're honest, you're kind of like the fool. You're kind of like this simple one who says, "I don't need instruction. I don't need wisdom." Be honest with yourself right now. God has placed before us today an opportunity of new beginnings. To fear the Lord. To turn to Him in worship and submission. To receive His grace and His love. If you know you need to turn to Christ, you can call out to Him in your heart even right now. Say, "God, I fear You. I submit my life to You, and I trust You for who You are. I believe that Jesus is the Lord. I believe that Jesus died, and He rose again. And I cast myself wholly in trust and faith to Jesus as my Savior." Lord, we thank You for Your wisdom, that it's not far away. It's given to all who will heed. Help us to heed the call to Christ. In Jesus' name we pray.